Morning, welcome to the last daf of the first parak of the Masechta. Masechta Nida has taken us from daf beis to yud beis, and today being the last daf of the Masechta, I'm sorry, last daf of the parak, so we are going to be a little bit ahead of myself. We're going to be concluding our topic that we started with yesterday, and yesterday we made a very basic distinction. Although we learned that there are bedikos, there are examinations that a woman has to do, and the Mishnah describes an examination both in the morning and in the evening. Nevertheless, that is only l'taharas. That's only when she's involved in items which she wants to remain tahor. So she's obviously not currently nida, obviously. If she were nida, she would be metame. But she wants to know that she doesn't just at any point in time break out in her menstrual cycle. And so as a result of that, they're going to be bedikas. Bedikas that are done both in the morning and the evening, and bedikas that are done also when she's with her husband, both before and after. So as we learned at the end of yesterday's daf, and now we're continuing our discussion right now, these bedikas are only when she's involved in taharas. And when I say these bedikas, I mean included in that are going to be even the bedikas that she's doing when she's with her husband. Meaning when she's with her husband, one could easily imagine and argue that, oh, those are bedikas that are done because she's with her husband. It's true, but that's not the cause. That's not the reason why she's doing the bedikas. She's doing bedikas because of taharas. It just happens to be that when she's with her husband, that happens to be an opportunity where her menstrual cycle can begin. What about a hargasha? Okay, it could very well be that she had a hargasha. As we've discussed since the beginning of the Masechta, there are things that mask the hargasha. And one of the things that mask a hargasha is the act of bia. So she does the bedika both before and afterwards, but as we learned in the end of yesterday's daf, and we're going to be punctuating right now, that's only for bedikas while she's involved in taharos. But if she's not involved in taharos, so then she shouldn't do bedikas. And that's where we start off with this morning's Gemara. By Mine Rabbi Zera Mei Rabbi Yehuda. So the following discussion was had amongst the Amoraim. Isha Mahu Shetiv Do Katzma Labala. If the woman's going to be with her husband, and that's it, meaning it's just her and her husband, and there are no taharos that are involved in this discussion, does she need to do a bedika? Amalei Lo Tivdok. So his response was super clear. He says, no bedikas. So v'tiv doku mabekach. So his counter argument is that what it can't hurt, can it? So and the Gemara's response is no, it can hurt. Imkein libo nokfo uparish. So he says, look, you want to be machmir, so you can't just simply be machmir. Chumras cannot be looked at as in a vacuum. You know, you'll say to yourself, oh, she'll do a bedika. Okay, she doesn't have to. She's not involved in taharos, but let's do a bedika anyway. But you can't just simply be that simplistic about chumras. Chumras have to take into consideration the counter effects of being involved in a chumra. Here, for example, here's a wonderful example where she's going to be machmir and doing a bedika. So that means that her husband's going to think to himself, well, why is she doing a bedika? Oh, is she doing a bedika because it's possible that she's going to be nida? And so therefore, as much as he's interested in being with his wife, he's absolutely not interested in violating the Torah, and it's not going to be good for the relationship of the husband and wife. The Gemara asks a similar question amongst the Amoraim. This is Rabbi Abba asking from Rav Huna, how about a woman doing a bedika immediately after Tashmish Shemitah with her husband? And what would be the point of that? And again, let's take taharos out of the discussion. This has nothing to do with taharos. It's just simply, you know, maybe it's a good thing. Why over here, maybe it's a good thing? So that her husband would be chayv, a carbon chatas. In other words, if he has relations with Anita, we're talking obviously here b'shogig. We're not talking about mazid, this person was not intentional. But if he had relations with his wife while she was Anita, and it was b'shogig, so then he has to bring a carbon chatas. If she did the bedika immediately afterwards, and I say immediately, the Gemara is going to be very specific about what it means immediately. If she does it immediately afterwards, so then we know that he had relations with her while she was a nida, and therefore he would be required to bring a carbon chatas. Interesting note in the Gemara, she also has to bring a carbon chatas, meaning the isser of having relations with a nida is true both by the man and by the woman, by arayos, right? As long as both of them are willing participants in the act, both of them are violating the Avera. Over here, the Avera being violated by Shogeg and Bol Nida applies to both of them. So it's a little curious that the Gemara is focusing only on him and not on her, but still. The point is still, why don't we do a bedika so that he would now know that he's Chayv HaKarmen Chatas. So Amalei, Mimishkachala LeBedika Kishir Vest. So his response is a pragmatic response, which is, you're not going to be able to get it so quickly, meaning we're talking about sheer vest. Now, I know the word vest is a little bit confusing because we use it in terms of menstrual cycles, But we're also using the term vest in this context as immediacy. Meaning, is it possible to have a bedikah done immediately after the bia? V'atayin, the Gemara quotes the following brisa, Ezu shir vest. So what exactly does a shir vest look like? So mashal shamish ve'esha omdim b'tzad hamashkov. So basically, it's the man and the cloth that's going to be used for wipe, and they're basically both by the mashkov. Mashkov over here is used by derech mashal. It's over by derech mashal. They're both in the same area. And b'tzias hashamish nichnas eid. And the moment the shamish comes out, the moment the man comes out, so then the aid's going to go in. So you can't do a bedikah with this. At best, what you could do is kinuach. You could just simply wipe the area superficially, but you can't do an actual bedikah. So the Gemara says, so it's not even possible. Meaning, I'm not even answering your question fundamentally. I'm answering your question practically. It's just simply not practical that the bedikah could be done with that kind of immediacy after the act of tashmish between husband and wife. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right. So you can't do a bedikah immediately afterwards. How about kinuach? Okay. So you do a kinuach in the area, which we did say that is possible. So what about doing kinuach immediately after tashmish between husband and wife, so that he knows that if, in fact, she was a nida, he'll bring a karmen chatas. So now, in a slightly different version, it's going to basically be the same question. We're just going to tweak the carbon that he's going to need to bring. The carbon that we're talking about over here is not the carbon chatos, but rather the Ashem Talui. Ashem Talui, as we learned back in Krisus extensively, is when a person possibly violated the Veira, not sure. Now, of course, the classic example of Ashem Talui, like we discussed extensively back in Masech to Krisus, is where there are two pieces of meat in front of you. One's Chalev and the other one is Shuman, and you don't know which of the two you ate. Over here, this is not exactly the same type of case. Right. Over here, the bedikah was done slightly after the Tashmish Amita. She discovers that she was a Nida in that slight interval of time post-Tashmish. And then the suffix is, well, maybe she was a Nida at the time of Tashmish. Right. And because there's a small interval of time, so that creates the suffix. So admittedly, this is not the same as what we discussed back in Krisus. But with all that stated, it's the same idea. And therefore, the Gemara is asking about Ashem Talui. It's the same question, just instead of chatas, we're talking now Ashem Talui. Amar lo lo tivdok. So now we get to the fundamental answer, which you probably expected to hear, which is, it's not recommended. Don't do a bedikah. So v'tivdok amar b'kach, and the Gemara pushes back, well, why not? Just do a bedikah. What's the big deal? Im kein libo nokfo uparish. So the response is like we saw just moments earlier in the daf. Because once you get a bedikah to be done immediately after Tashmish, why are you doing a bedikah now? Oh, because I want to see if you're chayav karban chatas. So that you can only imagine now that the next time they're going to be intimate with one another, he's going to have that thought going in the back of his head, and it's going to be very difficult for husband and wife to be intimate if this is the kind of thinking that is going to be inspired by all these bedikahs that are being done. So the Gemara says basically, no. Not only is it a chumrah, it's a chumrah you shouldn't do. Libo nokvo parish. Continuing the Gemara of Shashi Yoveris. Okay, we're going back to the Mishnah and we're discussing now the bedikas that are done by women before and after Tashmish with their husbands. And again, to reiterate, but the Gemara is going to keep pounding this point, so I don't even need to overemphasize it. And that is that's only while she is dealing with Taharas. And the Gemara says, Amar of Ami, Amar of Yanai, Zehu Eidan Sholtznius. The bedikas that she's doing before and after Tashmish, Eidan Sholtznius. These cloths that she uses are going to be modesty cloths. Amar le Rebbe Abba bar Mama le Rebbe Ami Tana tnitzrichos va'at tnitznuos. So you are giving a description that is not the same as the Mishnah. The Mishnah uses the language of tzrichos. Tzrichos meaning that this is a requirement. This is necessary. And by you saying tznuos, you're sounding like modest women do it. And it's not absolutely required, but you know, modest women engage in this kind of behavior. No, don't say it that way. In other words, say it the way the Mishnah is saying it, which is this is necessary. So he says, well, we are saying the same thing because the word snua in this context means that when you follow divrei chachamim, so you are a modest person. Amar Rava, so Rava says, I don't like the way you're saying it. So really, so when you're following the words of the Chachamim, so now you are modest. Which means now the inference, which is very clear, is that if I don't follow the words of the Chachamim, I'm immodest. You're a lot worse than immodest. meaning if you're not following the words of the Chachamim, so you're Rasha. So that, right. So the word modesty and contrasting it with what you're, the lack of modesty, that does not truly represent a person who doesn't listen to Divrei Chachamim. If the Chachamim tells to do something, any din de rabbanan, yeah, we have to follow it. That's part of the Torah Shabbat Peh. So the word modesty is really misplaced over here. Ela Amar Rava. So Rava says, okay, let's give a totally new pshat. Meaning that, yes, I'm going to defend Rav Ami. Rav Ami said in the name of Rav Yana that these are the Eidan Shel Tznuos, the clause of modesty, but I'm not going to say it the way you're saying it. And the way I'm going to say it, says Rav, goes like this. Tznuos, Eishabat Gubo Atzman Lifnei Tashmish, Zeh Ein Bot Goz Bo Lifnei Tashmish Acher. Vishayin Tznuos, Bot Goz Velo Ichbat Lahun. So the only difference between the modest and immodest women in this context of using the clause is whether or not you're going to repeat using the same cloth. Meaning you do Bedika with a cloth. Turns out the Bedika was good. So can you reuse the cloth? So yeah, the answer is yes. Sure. But in other words, but if you want to be a woman who is working with a higher degree of modesty, modesty in this context does not mean modesty in terms of her, right, in terms of her covering herself. Modesty over here just simply means a higher level of Kedusha Tahara and attention to detail of Halacha. So she's going to use a new cloth. She's not going to use the same cloth that she used before. Or you can say also a laundered cloth. Either way. Okay. Gufa, Amar Rabbi Zera, Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Yirma, Amar Shmuel. Isha Shein Lavest, Asur L'Shamish Achi Tivdok. Okay, the Gemara says over a halacha in the name of Shmuel, and that is a woman who does not have a vest, and does not have a fixed menstrual cycle. As we discussed a number of times already earlier in the Masechta, and this point will be clear throughout our Masechta, back in the day, Bizmana Gemara, so it was more typical for a woman to have a menstrual cycle than not have a menstrual cycle. When I say menstrual cycle, I mean a fixed menstrual cycle, what's called in halacha, aves kavua. Aves kavua basically means that she knows either calendarically it always comes on the fifth of the month, or the interval between the beginning of one menstrual cycle and the other one is always the same, is a constant. However the fixed cycle works, we discussed just a little bit of it yesterday. With the jumping, but back in the day it was very common for women to have a vest kavua, a fixed cycle, and the women who have an idea of when their menstrual cycle is going to come but cannot pinpoint it to the day, so that's what's called the vest chain kavua. So again, without giving you the statistics now because I don't know them, but I can comfortably say that the majority of our women have a vest chain kavua, not a vest kavua. So but Shmuel says, the Shmuel now is going to teach us a halacha regarding woman that does not have a vest kavua, yisha shein la vest asur l'sham shashi tivdok. Now what he's saying is intuitive, although as you can imagine, it's going to create a lot of problems. This woman who does not have a fixed cycle, so she knows, she has an idea of when her menstrual cycle is going to come up, but she's not sure. As a result of that, she's going to be with her husband. She's not sure whether or not she's going to menstruate or not. Now I understand, we all understand that immediately after her cycle has finished, so there are going to be a couple of days, we can even call them 11 days, right? In which she'll be pretty confident that that her next cycle is not going to begin. But still, the point over here being is that since she doesn't know with certainty when her next cycle is going to begin, and she's going to be with her husband, she needs to do a bedika. So Amalei Rebbe Zer L'Rabbi Abba Bar Yirmiyah Ein Lavest by bedika. Yesh la veslo by bedika. Now, at first, the Gemara didn't understand exactly what he was saying. What are you implying? A woman who doesn't have a vest needs a bedika. A woman who does have a vest doesn't need a bedika. Meaning, and just the opposite. We've learned that a woman who has a vest kavua on her vest kavua certainly needs a bedika. Amriye yesh la vest. So he says like this. No, here's what I'm saying. Just to be clear. If she has a vest kavua, so Eira by Bedika, Yeshena lo by Bedika. Look, if she has a vest kavua, where now there is a certain level of confidence that she's not going to be menstruating until her actual vest kavua, so there, she needs to do a Bedika, but you don't have to bother her to do Bedika. Meaning, if she's awake, so she'll do a Bedika. If she's sleeping, then you won't do a Bedika. Now, at this point in time, I'm going to bypass the question. I'll come back to it a little bit later. He's going to be intimate with her while she's sleeping. That's what it sounds like from our Gemara. I'm going to come back to that question momentarily. But in the meantime, however, let's just still stay with the Gemara's point. And that is that if she is awake, she'll do a bedika, but if she's sleeping, she won't do a bedika. So Amar Rav Avalei Malei Yesh Laves Litaros by bedika Labala Lo by bedika. So Rav says, so why don't we correct the statement and say like this? That if she has a ves kavua, so then if it's for taharos, then she needs a bedika. But if it's for her husband, she does not need a bedika. Fine. Meaning, if taharos are in play, meaning she's involved, she's working with taharos, then she always needs to do a bedika. Because again, as a chumra for taharos, a woman should do a bedika, even when she's with her husband. And if she is not involved in taharos, then she shouldn't do a bedika. Meaning she has a ves kavua, she has a fixed cycle, she knows when it's coming, and she shouldn't do a bedika. Ein la vest. And then we'll contrast that with a woman who does not have a fixed cycle. I feel a bala nami by bedika. So, and if she's going to be with her husband and taharus is not in play, she's not dealing with taharus, she's just her and her husband, so then she should require a bedika because she doesn't know exactly when the cycle is going to begin, and so therefore she should know a bedika. Why don't you state it in that manner? Meaning I'm making a really simple distinction between a woman who has a vest and a woman who doesn't have a vest, and whether she's working with Tahara or she's not working with Tahara. So you could fill in that Punnett square, and why don't you say it that way? Umidalo amar lehachi, and by virtue of the fact that he didn't say it in that way, Shema Minak Kesav Shmuel, kolabalo by bedika. And the reason why Shmuel didn't say that is because Shmuel is really of the position, which we saw at the end of yesterday's daf, but now we're reiterating right now, and that is that according to Shmuel, if Tahara is not in play, if Tahara is not a consideration, she simply does not need to do a bedika for Tashmish Amita. Tanur Rabban, the Gemara quotes the following brisa, Chamar Mepal. I'm sorry. Here's a good place to pause, and let's come back to that question. Let's circle around to that question regarding a man and his wife, and she's sleeping. Okay, in terms of the halachas of tznius of modesty between husband and wife while they're engaged in Tashmish Amita, so the principle, the primary source to see that is the end of the first parak of Nedarim. I know it's a little bit funny, meaning we're learning Masechta Nida. So you would think that we're discussing husband and wife, intimacy between husband and wife. So somewhere in the pages here in Nida, we're going to be discussing these halachas. It's not. And it's not because the Gemara is prude. The Gemara is not prude, as is evidenced by the first 2 weeks of the Masechta, and it will be evidenced by the remainder of the Masechta. The Gemara has no problems discussing the details of Tashmish Shemitah between husband and wife in detail. So, but nevertheless, though, Nida is not the... is not the location to find these halachas. You go to the end of the first parak of Nedarim, and the Gemara over there speaks in detail regarding husband and wife and the halachas of relations between husband and wife, and what should be done legabe modesty, tznius, and proper conduct when it comes to intimacy. So one of the things mentioned over there, the Gemara Nedarim. By the way, take a look at the Gemara Nedarim over there. It's really interesting. But one of the things mentioned over there in the Gemara Nedarim is that a husband should not be with his wife while she's sleeping. That's part of the halachas of tznius between husband and wife. So it should not be done. So over here, our Gemara is kind of assuming, well, it's going to happen. It's just a question of whether or not he needs to wake her up for her to do bedika. That this Gemara over here seems to violate the Gemara over there in Nedarim. So Tosus raises this as a dilemma. Ben Yeshenos perish deleka iser nidos. So Tosos first addresses this, by the way. I'm sorry, I should have introduced 1, 2, 3, 4. It's the fifth Tosos down on the Amud. So the first thing that Tosos says is that there are two separate issues. One issue is the halachas of tznius, and the other issue is whether or not a bedika is required or not. So, and what we'll do, says Tosos, is we'll just simply compartmentalize the two Gemaras. Our Gemara over here is just focused on bedika. So from a bedika standpoint, a bedika is not required. Okay. But then there's another consideration, which is the laws of tznius. The laws of tznius between husband and wife dictate that she should not be sleeping. So so vis-a-vis the laws of tznius, he's violating the laws of tznius. Vis-a-vis the laws of bedika, he's conforming to the laws of bedika. That is Tosus's first approach. Inami, Tosus does have a second approach. Hachalo legamri b'yishena airi, ela ina ira kokach shetei delashiv imhi tahora imlav. Another possibility, says Tosus, is that sleeping over here doesn't mean sleeping. Sleeping over here kind of means that, you know, semi-conscious. Right, groggy. So semi-conscious. So vis-a-vis the halachas of tznius, it doesn't violate the halachas of tznius. Vis-a-vis the halachas of bedika, now the halachas of bedika are in effect. Meaning that because she is not totally awake, is it required now to, you know, say, look, I know you're groggy, but bedika. So that's another possible way of distinguishing between our Gemara here and the Gemara Nedarim. Let's come back to our Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan. We are towards the bottom of the Amud Chamarim Po'alim Habayim Mibesa Avel Mibesa Mishta. So you have these donkey drivers and workers who are coming from Besa Avel and Besa Mishta. In other words, these are basically employees who have gone away for some time and now are coming back. And Nishem Lahem Becheskes Tahara, sorry. The Vabayim Mibesa Avel Mibesa Mishta. Nishem Lahem Becheskes Tahara Vabayim Vishoin Imahem Ben Yishenos Ben Eros. So if they leave their wives becheskes tahara, meaning that when they went away on the trip, their wives were tahor, and they came back, they can assume the same thing. And they could be with their wives whether they're awake and asleep. And again, in when the Gemara here says sleeping, so again, go back to the Tosfos we just learned together.
Time, I mean, because 2 months later. Yeah.
Right, that's an excellent point. It's just... Hold on that point. B'medvar m'morim shehinichem becheskes tahara. Aval hinichem becheskes tahara. However, if when he left, he knew that his wife was in Nida, but she's going through the process. She's counting her days of Nida, and b'zmanenu nowadays, it's not only the 8 days of Nida, it's also Shiv Nikim as well. We'll talk about that later in the Masechta. But anyway, but still, the point is that the chazaka in which he leaves her is going to have to be the same chazaka when he comes back. So la'olam itamea asher tamar lo tahor ani. Now, obviously, it can be resolved while he's away, meaning that she can count her days of nida, her days of shiv nekiyum shekoh the mikvah, and so that when he comes back, she'll be prepared for him. Okay, so the point of the brisa is she has to verbalize it, and she has to say to her husband, tahor ani. Now, v'ashmuel b'may mukila. So the Gemara says, now, according to Shmuel, let's get a little more context over here. And Phil, this is why I just held off on your question. Let's get a little more context over here. Kashya era. So the Gemara says, now, if she is a woman who has a fixed cycle, so then I don't understand. Meaning, a woman who has a fixed cycle, so we said that as long as she hasn't approached and hit that fixed cycle, so then no badika is required. Not for a woman who's awake, not for a woman who's sleeping. Now, if we're talking about a woman who does not have a fixed cycle, Kashya ben era ben yishena. So what do you mean? We said that a woman who does not have a fixed cycle, so she needs to do a bedikah before she's with her husband, under all circumstances, awake or asleep. So the Gemara says, so now the brisa, of course, does not fit into either position of Shmuel. So la'olam b'sheish laves, we're talking about a woman who has a fixed cycle, v'kem v'shatava, ein l'cha bedikah gedolah mizah. So, and as far as a woman who has a fixed cycle, La'olam b'sheish laves, she has a fixed cycle, and there was a tvia, and therefore ein l'cha bedikah gedolah mizah. So it means like this. It means that she had a fixed cycle. It means that she was supposed to do a bedikah upon her fixed cycle, and because he went away, and because he comes back, and because she knows that he wants to be with her, so therefore there's no bedikah better than that. Now, it's not abundantly clear what the Gemara means by that. In fact, I'm going to read Rashi. Rashi writes, "En lecha bedikah gedola mizu, di lo kimla de tahorehi hava badka." So if we are unsure that she was tahara, so she would have done a bedika. U bedika de kamer Shmuel la'el, and this refers to the bedika that Shmuel mentioned above. So betvia sagi. So by virtue of the fact that he is going to proposition her when he comes home, so that is going to be the substitute for an actual bedika that was done. Now Rashi ends off by saying v'libi megamgem. Now Rashi says I'm really not 100% sure about how this Gemara really works out, meaning how a tvia actually can substitute for an actual bedika. Perhaps what the Gemara means, and I'm suggesting this, is that because she knows he's coming home, so therefore it's assumed that she's going to do bedika, and she doesn't have to articulate that she's going to do that. That's probably what the Gemara means. Amar Papa Rava Maula Ma'abe Kiamas Nisa. So Rav Papa says to Rava, okay, the brisa we just learned together. Like Lamaisa, like can we hold like that brisa? So Amar Lay, so he says back to him in response, Sudani. So this is Rava, and his description of Rav Papa, he calls him the Sudani. Sudani, not because he comes from a place Sudan, but rather, says Rashi, Rava refers to Rav Papa Sudani for one of two reasons. One, says Rashi, Tamu Chacham al Shem Sod Hashem Le'Reyav. So Rav Papa was a Tamu Chacham. Now we know that. In other words, he gets a lot of airtime throughout Shas. So he's an Amora. So in regard to Rava referring to Rav Papa as a Sudani from the word Sod Hashem Le'Reyav, Kadosh Baruch Hu reveals secrets to his Talmid Chachamim. So lo bai bedika, Rashi does offer another pshat, lishna achrina, just skipping down one line. So Rashi takes us to the Gemara in Bava Metzia that tells us that Rav Papa was a wealthy man. And how did he make his money? He was beer. He was a brewer. A brewer extraordinaire. So that's another, and Sudani is a Aramaic word describing beer. Right, umatul shecher nikra sudani. Rashi tells us the Gemara in Psachim teaches us this. Okay, either
they were not supposed to give nickname to the people.
They did.
So this was it.
Tosos in other places, not here. Tries to deal with the various nicknames that clearly are given from one Amara to another Amara. Right, we could just say simply that these are affectionate nicknames and not pejorative nicknames. But okay, but you're right. Anyway, Amalei Sudani lo de meganya ba'ape. So he says to him like this: a bedika when he comes home, not directly in front of him. And when I say directly in front of him, meaning the Gemara does not even mean that graphically. It just simply means it's if she says, wait 1 second, I need to do a bedika. So then what's going to happen is that's going to now put the thought in his mind, why is she doing a bedika? She thinks she's going to start menstruating, and so therefore, once again, it's going to impinge upon the intimacy between husband and wife. Amar Rav Kahana, she'altin al inshe beisei de Rav Papa. So Rav Kahana says to the wives, he asked the wives of Rav Papa's household. Now, it is strange, admittedly, where a discussion is being had right now between one Amora and the wives of other Amoraim and children of Amoraim, in terms of their practice in regards to tznius. I will just simply remind us all that these are halachos, meaning, yes, it's true, this is tznius, but it's also halachos as well. And so for halachos, sometimes immodest discussions are had in order to ascertain the halacha. The Gemara, the end of Brachos, which we're all familiar with, regarding Rav Kahana and by the way, it's Rav Kahana here as well. Regarding Rav Kahana and some of his behavior in order to learn the halachas of tznius, so which even there, the Gemara at the end of Bracha says Rav Kahana that's too much. Meaning that's you're definitely the motivation's wonderful, but boy oh boy, right? They're just right. You cross the line in terms of being too immodest to learn about the laws of modesty. So anyway, so he asked the wives of the house of Rav Papa, Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua, Ki Asur Rabbanim Mi Bei Rav. So your husbands came back from a rabbinic conference, and Mitzarchi Luchu Bedika. Is the Bedika going to be required? V'Amru Li Lo. So he says no Bedika was required. V'Lishalina V'Lididu. So the Gemara says, now why don't they ask the rabbis themselves? And the Gemara gives an answer which is a little bit challenging. Dilma Inu Kamachmir Anafshayu. So the Gemara says, well, maybe they're going to be machmer upon themselves, meaning they'll tell other people to be meko, but they themselves are going to be machmer. And so he wasn't sure, this Rav Kahana was not sure as to whether or not he was going to get a honest response from the Chachamim, and so therefore that's why he asked the wives. Okay. Tanur Rabban, the Gemara quotes a Brisa, Isha Shein Lavest, Asur L'Shamish. So the Brisa says that a woman who does not have a fixed cycle cannot be with her husband. Now, over here, you would expect now the Brisa to say something like, unless she does a bedika. That's not how the Brisa is operating. The Brisa is telling us that a woman does not have a fixed cycle, cannot be with her husband. And this woman needs to get a divorce. And not only it needs to get a divorce from her husband, but this is grounds for divorce. And by that, we mean that she's not going to get any of the financial compensations of a woman who normally gets divorced. Because once you're divorcing her on grounds, so now she forfeits her ksuva. And not only does she forfeit her ksuva, but all the other financial obligations that come together with the ksuva. And he doesn't have to pay not the ksuva, the base amount, below peros, and the fruit that he ate from her nichs and malug over all these years of marriage. Or, I'm exaggerating, years of marriage, meaning probably this point was discovered early on in the marriage. Velo mizonos, and he doesn't have to give her support. Velo belos, and the worn out clothing. Sometimes a woman comes into a marriage, brings clothing into the marriage, and then, as part of the Tanai Ksuva, at the conclusion of the marriage, if the clothing is worn out, it normally would go back to the wife, but not in this context. V'yotzi, v'lo machzir olam is divrei meir. And according to Rav Meir, he must divorce her, and he can never return her, he can never remarry her. Rabbi Chanina ben Antignas omer mishamish es mishnei edim. So Rabbi Chanina ben Antignas says, well, look, over here she doesn't have a ves kavua, but all is not lost. She's going to have to do a procedure which is going to either really help or really hurt. One of those two. Not in between. So Mishamesh is b'shnei edim. What she's going to do, she's going to be with her husband and use bedika clothes. Hein afsua, hein teknua. Now, it's going to either destroy the relationship or it's going to correct the relationship. And the reason why is as follows. Look, when the woman doesn't have a ves kavua, so that means that her cycle can come at any point in time. And as we already explained earlier this morning, and I get to repeat again now, the act of bia is a masking agent to the hargasha that she would have experienced during her nida. And so therefore, she is unsure as to whether or not, when she's with her husband, maybe this is one of the things that is the onset of her cycle. So what they'll do, this husband and wife, where she does not have a fixed cycle, is that she will do a bedika after tashmish with her husband. And as a result of that, she will now know definitively whether or not the act of relations with her husband does in fact bring about the onset of her cycle. And so either the answer is going to be yes or no. Now, if the answer is yes, so unfortunately that's the end of the relationship. And if the answer is no, so then good. So it was misakin. Mishum Abba Chanan Amru Ein Oilo Labala. And Abba Chanan adds one more point, and that is woe to the husband. Now, that does not seem to sound like a halachic point. It sounds almost like commentary, like editorial over here. And that doesn't really seem to fit into the Braisa in general. That doesn't fit in the Braisa. Braisas are making halachic points, not editorial points. So, obviously, that needs to be explained. So, what we have now is, we just learned the Braisa together regarding woman does not have a ves kavua, does not have a fixed cycle. And there were, well, let's call it right now, two opinions in the Braisa. Two very definitive opinions in the Braisa. First, the opinion of Rav Meir. Rav Meir says, grounds for divorce. And not only grounds for divorce, he must divorce her. Okay. And she does not get any of the financial remuneration of being a divorced woman. The opinion of Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos is, well, at this point in time, we're going to have to use a procedure of the clause in order to see whether or not Bia is, in fact, going to be a precipitator for the onset of her cycle. And then there's the third opinion of Abba Chanan, which we're going to come back to. In the meantime, however,
she did anything wrong. I mean, she didn't madonna herself.
Correct. That's absolutely correct. You're right. It doesn't change the halacha. Meaning, the halacha is still going to demand that part of the institution of marriage is that the husband is with his wife. And so, because she's just simply not in a position where she can have that happen, so therefore the marriage is terminated.
Well, maybe she can, because it's just in irregular periods, but between irregular periods, she's clean.
Right.
I'm going to come back. I'll come back to your point.
Yeah.
All right. Asura l'shamesh. So the Gemara now is going to go back over many of the points of the Braisa, and we're going to comment on a number of the points of the Braisa. Number one, asura l'shamesh. So she can be with her husband, Doma Mekakelslei. Because the act of Tashmish may be the onset of her cycle, as we discussed, but the Gemara is just spelling it out. And because he cannot have relations with her, so again, it's part of the institution of marriage, a husband and wife are to be together. And because she cannot put herself in such a position, so therefore it's a forfeiture of Ksuva. Velo peres, velo mazonos, velo belos. And also all the other financial considerations of marriage also is going to be forfeited, because Tanai Ksuva Ksuva Dam, because that's part of Tanai Ksuva. And as we know, anything that is an addendum to Ksuva, I say addendum, I mean in this context a rabbinic addendum that was attached by the Chachamim as part of the institution of Ksuva, so that's also forfeit as well. V'yotzi v'lo v'yachzir olamis, again, just point by point, we're going to just hit every point of Rabbi Meir, and he must divorce her, not ever remarry her, Pshita. Now, if he's divorcing her and being unable to remarry her, isn't that obvious? Meaning the whole reason why he divorced her is because of their inability to be intimate. So why did the Bryce have to say, lo yachzir olamis? So lo tzricha de hadra v'itkena. So the Gemara says, well, maybe what happened is that after the marriage terminated, she went for some therapy, and whatever therapy it was, doesn't matter, right? right? Holistic therapy, whatever, yoga, whatever she did, she corrected herself. She got to having a fixed cycle. So ma'od detemeli hadra kamashman. So now you think, okay. So look, we were only the only grounds for the divorce was our inability to have relations. But now that's corrected, so let him take her back. To which the Gemara now says, wait a second, that's a wonderful idea. Let him take her back. Machzir grushaso. The only time you cannot take back a woman you divorce is only when she marries another man. But short of that, as long as she didn't marry another man, take her back. So why not? So Gemara says, I'll tell you why. So Kamash Malan, Dizimna da Azam and Insima Mintakna Va Amar Ilo Aisi Yodesh Kachaya, Filo Aisim Nosilim Meamana, Lo Yisim Megarsha. So the problem is as follows. Because what's going to happen, what could possibly happen is that after they get a divorce, she'll marry another man. And with this other man, she totally fixed her cycle. And now the first husband says, I have the worst regrets of having divorced her. I didn't know the situation could have been corrected. And had I known, I would never have divorced her under any circumstance. You could have given me all the money in the world and I wouldn't have divorced her. And Nimsa get batal. And now he's basically screaming out towards the validity of the get. Uvanem mamzerim. Well, and now if the get is going to be batal, so that means that her marriage with her second husband is not a marriage. It means that the children are mamzerim. Okay, so forth and so on. Okay. I know. Once he gives her a get, that's it. The get is...
And also, why does he have to divorce her? Maybe it's just for this one instance.
Right.
She examines, you know...
Okay, good.
The next day.
Okay, so I'll tell you what. I see there's a lot of questions. I see that. I'm with you. But nevertheless, that's the shita of Rabbi Meir. Okay, let's continue, and then you can catch me later for more discussion. Mishum Abachanan Amar Oyla Labala. Now, the halacha. Hold on. We're not done yet. Yeah, I know. You're taking his job away. So the let's first wrap up the Gemara. So right now, what do we have? We have three opinions in the Braisa. The first opinion, Reb Meir, we just went through each point of Reb Meir. The second opinion is Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos. There's nothing to go over, meaning his point is pretty straightforward. She'll do bedika, and she'll find out one way or another whether this marriage can sustain or not. And then there's that third opinion of Chanan, of Abba Chanan. And Abba Chanan said, Oy lo labala. What is he saying? I mean, we know what he's saying, but halachically, what does it mean? So Igadarmala Rameir. So Amarle. So some say that his comment was going back to Rameir. The Baila Agveik Suvasa. And what he was saying is, Rameir, I agree with you except for the Ksuva part. Meaning you think that this is grounds for divorce and she doesn't collect a Ksuva. I agree with you it's grounds for divorce. Except I disagree with you about the Ksuva. And going back to a point that was made earlier, meaning this is not her fault. So in other words, this is obviously grounds for divorce, but at the same time, it's not a forfeiture of a ksuva. She didn't do anything that would forfeit her ksuva. It just happens to be the circumstances that are, quite frankly, beyond her control.
It should be his mazel gorim too. I mean, it's bad mazel that he married a wife without fetzes, so he should pay a ksuva.
Okay, good. Yeah, good. You have an opinion. Excellent. Excellent.
What's the ground for divorce?
Okay.
What's
the ground for divorce? They have to be intimate. Husband and wife have to be intimate.
No, she had to tell him in advance that I don't have regular.
She just simply didn't know. She simply didn't know. Okay. Igad Army, the Gemara says that another way. L'Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos Kamerlei, de Mekalkelos Lei. So he was commenting on Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos, and he says that look, what you're doing is Mekalkel. Now, again, according to Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos, it's, you know, could work out good, but not necessarily. Could work out bad. All right? So, Am Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Halacha Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos. So, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel has a very clear halacha on this matter. So, we have in the Braisa, the opinion of Rabbi Meir, the opinion of Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos, the comment of Chanan Abba, the uncertainty of whether Chanan Abba was going on the Tanakama, on Rabbi Meir, or commenting on Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos. In either way, Shmuel says, Halacha falls like Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos. Okay. Uvemai. And the Gemara says, okay, great. So now for our Isha She'ein Laves, for a woman who does not have a fixed cycle. So then, Bedika. Bedika is a way of rectifying the marriage in order to make sure to ascertain that the active relations between her and her husband is not going to be the onset of menstruation. Now the Gemara says, okay. Now with all that stated, We still need more context. Why? The Gemara goes on to explain. If we're talking about a woman who is working with taharos, ha amar Shmuel chadazimna. So we are Shmuel already told us this, meaning we already know the halach is that a bedikah is required when she is a sukkah b'taharos. The ibishena sukkah b'taharos ha amar kolabal by bedikah. And we also heard from Shmuel that if taharos are not in the picture and it's just her and her husband, no bedikah is required. Rabbi Abba bar Yirmiyah amar Shmuel isha shein la vesta sur l'shamish ad shetivdok. So, look, it was said in the name of Shmuel that a woman does not have a fixed cycle. She can't be with her husband until she does a bedika. And on that, we said, we commented about sukkah b'taharos. And that's what we said in yesterday's daf. We're only talking about a woman who's involved in taharos. So, man de masniha, lo masniha. So the Gemara says, you're bothered by the repetition of Shmuel, where Shmuel's quoted over here, and Shmuel quoted yesterday, and it's the same point, and why reiterated? So the Gemara's answer is very simple, because the one who taught yesterday's memra of Shmuel is not the same who taught today's memra of Shmuel. So it comes down now that according to Shmuel, this entire braisa that we learned is only as it relates to taharos, which then obviously generates a very simple question, which means now that we have not dealt with taharos in some time. And when I say some time, bizman ha-gemara, they were not dealing with taharos. Now, it's true that the Amoraim of Eretz Yisrael had truma, but in terms of Bavel and Shmuel, like, there was no taharos to speak about. And so when Shmuel says the halacha follows like Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos, and a bedikah is required, and that's only as it relates to taharos, so what is he saying? He's saying a halacha that's not relevant. And as you can see, the Bam Tosos over here, I'll just quote the Bam Tosos. The last two lines of Tosos. Ein lach shos demasarach lifsoka Rabbi Chanina. Came into basuka b'taharos ivy. So Tosos says, so we're passing like Rabbi Chanina, and that's only in the context where she's working with taharos. V'chi hilchus ala mashicha. So this is halacha l'mashicha, the halacha that when the Mashiach comes, so it's going to be applicable. So good, so you don't need to paskin on that. Meaning we need to learn the Torah, but we don't need to psak on this. So the Tosfos points out, l'olam hayu asukim b'taharos. Daha be'eretz Yisrael. I missed two important words of Tosfos. Daha be'eretz Yisrael l'olam hayu asukim b'taharos k'dam el chevre mitkan b'galo. So Tosfos says, in Eretz Yisrael, they were working with taharos. So you're right. In Bavel, not relevant, but in Eretz Yisrael it is. It still doesn't fully answer the question because Shmuel is a Amora of Bavel, not Eretz Yisrael, but still at least it was relevant at that time.